The 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month was the appointed time for the armistice to take place. The great war was to come to an end. That date was 100 years ago today. And there will be celebrations, commemorations in Europe. There will be newspaper articles. There will be music sung, concerts performed. And yes, church services commemorating this event. We in the church have a particular call as we reflect on the events of 100 years ago. We're not here to think about a particular battle or political decisions that were made, but to think about the war and what it means for us in theological terms. How we do that, I think, is spelled out for us in part by Scripture. We are a people called to remember. We are not to forget the past. As we heard in the lesson from Deuteronomy, the people were neither to forget the things that their eyes had seen nor let them slip from their minds all the days of their lives. They were to make them known to their children and your children's children. I don't know how good a job we have done of that. Our society tends to be focused on the now and on the present. When we think of war, we might think of World War II or perhaps Vietnam. Some of the members of our congregation here, having had experience in Korea, will reflect back to that event. But there were other members, older members, who served in the Second World War, but nobody in our midst served in the First World War. I'm sure some of our older members knew veterans of that conflict, but none experienced it. The truth is that World War I shaped the world we live in today. If there had not been a First World War, there would not have been a second. And it could be argued that Korea and Vietnam and the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq would not have followed. The world we live in was created 100 years ago. What kind of world should we want? Well, we read about that in the lesson from John. It is a world rooted in love. And not love as some kind of hokey sentiment, but a love that is grounded in giving and sacrifice. We hear Jesus say, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That is a beautiful sentiment, and it is often one that was mispreached and misunderstood. Soldiers were encouraged during the First World War to join the army to show that they had this kind of commitment to their friends. But Jesus was not talking about doing this for your friends. Jesus was talking about how he was going to go to the cross for you and for me. We have not built a world that is rooted in God's love. Far from it. So what are we to do? What are we to think? How often have you seen a portrayal of the First World War? Perhaps you've seen Lord Grantham in Downton Abbey wearing his uniform. Maybe you remember Snoopy fighting the Red Baron on his doghouse. If you were like me when you were in grade school, you had to read All Quiet on the Western Front. Now, I was assigned that book during the latter years of the Vietnam War. That book was a very political lesson. Our teachers wanted us to get the message, war is bad. But political opinions about Vietnam did not help us to understand what took place in World War I. The shape of that war has come into our memory through the war poets, Siegfried Sassoon and Owen Wilford, and through books like All Quiet on the Western Front. But if you look at the memories and reminiscences of people who fought in the war, they did not see it as an act of futility. They were not mindless robots sent off to die. In the armies of England and France, they fought for a cause. They fought for a reason. That doesn't negate the fact that we should mourn the loss of life. We as Christians are called into a moment like this with an element of cognitive dissonance. We can recognize the causes, but we can also recognize the people. So today we remember not just the American dead or the British dead or the French or the Australians or the New Zealanders, but we remember the Germans and the Italians. We remember the Turks and the others who fell on the battlefield. All were children of God. And as we've noted when preaching on the Civil War, it's true too of the First World War. There were chaplains on both sides who prayed to the same God for victory. And one wonders what God made of that. When I think about war, I can't help but think about it through the eyes of children. It's very easy for me as a 54-year-old man to look at the politics, to look at the geostrategic arguments that might be made for a conflict. But I'm not going to be called to serve. But I think about kids who might be. I think about my son who could be. And I remember the figure of Theodore Roosevelt, who was a very martial man, and he had reveled in his service in the Spanish-American War. He recalled fondly hearing the bullets whistle by him. But his perspective on things changed when his son Quentin was killed during World War I. And there he went from being a politician to being a father. I think there is a temptation for us as Christians to remember that peace is important and perhaps to think pacifism is the answer. And that really took hold in the church in the years after the First World War. And we know where the years between the First World War led to the Second. Reinhold Niebuhr was forced to preach about the fact that we are all fallen. Something that we don't like to acknowledge all that often. And in a fallen world, sometimes, we need to take up arms, as we did in the Second World War. But we need to do so with tremendous humility. And we should never do so thinking that we are taking up God's cause. Because while we may remember that war is supposedly the continuation of politics by other means, we should also remember that war is the failure of politics. Problems that could be seen from afar are ignored and allowed to metastasize, and then we find ourselves engaged in conflict. Veterans Day, or Armistice Day, poses a challenge for a preacher because there is no right thing to say. What I would hope is that we would honor the sacrifice of those who have served and are serving now. We will look with humility upon the past, and we will have faith in God that we might be wiser than our forebears.